Good morning and welcome into another edition of The Blitz. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. And we're back here in the Fan Run Studios getting you through to your lunch hour. Charlie Collier, Andy Brock, Sam Beard back behind the board. Gentlemen, this week rolling along as we getting just... I'm going to keep saying it every day, and it's for my own sanity that I'm saying it every day, you know, just to keep me putting one foot in front of the other, to keep me going forward. But hey, we're just another day closer to football. It just feels a little bit more like football today than it did yesterday.
I think it's, what, 15 days now?
15 days.
2 weeks from tomorrow. It's got to be 15.
Oh.
Thursday night game.
Is correct.
Yeah.
For me, I was even... My countdown was less. My countdown was...
You're a little ahead of schedule.
Well, now you're going to make me do some math here. Oh, gosh. 7, and then Friday, 8, Thursday, 9. And we're like 10 days away, yeah.
Okay. From week 0.
Yes.
So next Saturday.
Yeah.
Not so this like Saturday, but the next one.
Next Saturday, I expect both of you
what?
to watch the entirety of Vanderbilt, Hawaii.
Okay.
I was about to ask you,
what are the primetime week 0 games?
Ooh, man. Well, we got not one, not two, but I think three Mountain West teams in action.
That's awesome.
I know that is what drives everyone's love for football is the Mountain West. So we got those teams in action. Your games really, I mean, you have Florida State playing Duquesne. Big time.
Yeah.
You got UNC playing Florida A&M.
Oh, I just saw one that's crazy, but I'll let you
keep
going.
Vanderbilt, Hawaii again at 10:30. Like, that's such a funny game to me. And then you actually have a pretty interesting game, too, at noon. Northwestern and Nebraska in Dublin,
yeah,
Ireland.
Yeah, I was just looking at it. Is that right? They're playing
Dublin,
Ireland?
They are just playing in Dublin, Ireland.
What? How did that happen?
I don't know.
What ties do Nebraska and Northwestern have with Dublin, Ireland?
Is there even a person from Irish descent in the entire state of Nebraska?
Well, I mean, it had to have been scheduled at least like 10 years in advance, like most college football games between Power 5 conferences happen. Like, you know, you schedule games out 2029.
Yeah,
now,
I know. So with it being a conference game, though, like, I don't know.
I just want, how did, okay, that's our goal for today, to figure out how this came to be.
Well, they played, or I don't know if they played or they were going to play and it got canceled, but they were going to play at least Notre Dame in Dublin at one point. Like, they're going to play Boston College there at one point. Both of those make more sense, obviously. Again, does anyone in Ireland care? Like, I guess that's my biggest question with this game is, like,
yeah, like, who's going to go?
Yeah, I mean, like, because when we get these NFL Europe games, you can give them the Jags and, like, they'll have an entire section chanting and jumping up and down and throwing beer cans and whatever else. But, you know, at least, like, you give them the prospects of, like, here's the NFL. You get to watch the NFL, and, you know, it's a special thing that they've been marketing. I don't think I've really heard much about the marketing efforts of Big Ten football in Ireland.
It's the first time Northwestern will play a game outside the U.S., so I guess Nebraska has done this before. It didn't say this is Nebraska's first game outside the U.S.
Well, now that's another thing that we need
to figure out.
Now
we need to figure out
who Nebraska played overseas.
The story keeps getting better here.
Maybe it could have just been Canada.
I can't think of another equivalent. Like, what is the United Kingdom, Ireland area equivalent of coming to the U.S. and playing that's not professional? Because, I mean, you got your Premier League's teams that come here all the time during the summer, but you never see, like, a college soccer team from England or Ireland come here and play games. It just doesn't happen.
Would you care if a college soccer, do they have, like, big time college soccer there?
I don't know.
I figure they just have, like, youth academies.
They do. I mean, yeah, most of your main guys, they just go straight to the academies. They don't even worry
about
that.
They're just, like, 14 and they just get ripped away from their family.
It's completely different than, obviously, college football. College football is so much probably more popular here than what, you know, college.
Okay, yeah. I thought there was going to be another one. Shout out Travis Cavage. He just tweeted me, Notre Dame plays Navy next year in Ireland.
Okay.
Do y'all want to guess where Nebraska has played overseas?
Do you have this?
Before? I do have
this.
Wow.
That's why you're the best producer around. Your research is
impeccable. Can we guess?
I do want to guess.
Take a stab at it.
Can I get a Can I get like a what 20-year period it took place
in? Okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to get it, like a geographical hint.
It is after 1990.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm going to say that Nebraska played Missouri in Mexico City.
Okay. Well, we're doing the opponent, too.
It could be a Big 12 game,
yeah, because, you know, back in that point, they were in the Big 12. I feel like the easy answer's got to be Canada. I mean, maybe like Toronto. I feel like Canada's the easy.
Have they played in the Bahamas?
Y'all are never going to get close to this.
I want another guess.
Give us another hint.
Give us the team they played.
Well, that's not going to help at all.
They played Kansas State.
See? That's not going to help at all.
This won't help at all, I promise you.
Okay, give us a more of like a...
I think another hint here just kind of ruins it.
Okay, so...
1992,
Nebraska and Kansas State trekked to this non-American location to battle it out.
They went to face off in Tokyo, Japan.
Oh, that was going to be my next guess.
No way. Has an NFL game even happened?
We need to bring back college football to Tokyo, Japan.
There's actually Japanese college football that I watch sometimes.
That is amazing. That was ahead of its time.
That is well ahead of its time, I feel like.
Has an NFL game happened in Japan?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we've had like the Mariners and the A's play in Japan, and then
I feel like
Nebraska,
that's a market
Kansas
we haven't
State.
Tapped into yet.
Wow.
Do they? I mean, I guess they do care, because again, I've been watching Japanese college football for like 4 or 5 years now. It's gotten a lot better. I don't really watch a lot of it, but like I end up watching probably 2 games a year, just because there are a couple Saturdays where the Hawaii game ends and it's like 3 a.m. and I'm still awake, and then Reddit college football tweets out like, "Hey, if the Hawaii test wasn't enough for you, like here's some Japanese college football," and I get suckered into watching it.
It all started in 1992. That was the
Nebraska, Kansas State
the springboard.
Tokyo.
50,000 people attended this game.
Wow.
I mean, that's a pretty good bit for
Tokyo
game.
This looks cool. Looking at the pictures, Nebraska. Oh, this is awesome. You got a bunch of Japanese men painted up with like all the Nebraska colors, all in their Nebraska gear.
That's pretty cool, man. Like, imagine if you were a fan of one of these teams and you just get an excuse to go to Tokyo. You get an excuse to go to Dublin. Like, if you're Nebraska Northwestern fan, why not?
Guess who was on that 1992 Kansas State team? Tennessee assistant coach Mike Eckler was playing for Kansas State at the time.
No way.
Okay, so
we got to ask him about this. Yeah. This has to be next time he's at the presser, Mike. We got to talk about this.
I'm calling Rick Butler. I can't call him right now. We're on radio, but I'm going to text Rick Butler right now and tell him the very next instance he gets to ask Mike Eckler about this.
I know, unfortunately,
we need the inside scoop on 1992 in Tokyo.
It has nothing to do with anything Tennessee football,
but like,
it's still cool.
Rick could get creative enough there to be able to work it in. Just like, so with Nebraska, you know, going to play Northwestern in Dublin, you've been a part of an international game before, coach. Like, you think that's something you'd ever want Tennessee to do?
Yeah.
Like, was it like for you when you went in 1992 to Tokyo?
Where would you want Tennessee to play internationally if that happened, if Mike Eckler sparked the conversation?
Where would I want Tennessee to play international? Ooh. Turks and Caicos.
Yeah, well, of course.
Let's go play Turks in Turks and Caicos.
That'd be an expensive game.
Maybe like Roatan, Honduras.
All right.
I think a lot of our guys would be going down with some Ole Miss injuries there, a little dehydration.
And we'd have to play late.
It would be pretty hot.
Humid environments over there.
It would have to be elite.
Let's make it like a really important game, too.
Alabama.
Yeah, let's play Alabama
in the Bahamas.
Let's play them in like Greece. Just in the...
Hey, the world's your oyster.
I don't know. Realistically, I think I'd want them to play in Australia.
Okay.
That'd be cool, actually.
Imagine the TV time for that, though, if you didn't go.
That's hard for me to find out, honestly. What time zone are they?
Oh, it's completely.
Are they like 14 ahead?
They're almost like into tomorrow.
20 ahead?
They're almost into tomorrow at this point.
Like, are they? Yeah, they're getting ready to wake up.
They're 15 hours ahead.
Probably going to bed.
They're 15 hours ahead
in Tokyo. They're 15 hours ahead.
It's 12 a.m. So it's literally tomorrow.
It's 12 a.m. right now.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Wow. Happy tomorrow. Happy Thursday, Australia, if you're listening. Okay, so if it was 12 a.m. now and it's 10 a.m., then
if it was a prime time game, at
like 8 o'clock Australia time, that would be
6 a.m.
6 a.m.? That's
get up for game day. I mean, people get up for college game day at that time.
What if they did it at noon?
That's just too much math. I don't know. Well, then it would be, it'd be 10 o'clock
then
at night
be 10
here.
PM. That's
it'd
be what 10 I'm o'clock trying to figure at night. Like, is that, like 11 a.m. or noon?
It's exactly
like
what it would be right now. Yeah.
Better than...
I wouldn't want a 6 a.m. game. I don't think that would be as fun.
Yeah, I don't know. Where would you want this game to be played, Andy?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of fine with whatever. I like the idea of going over to Dublin, UK. They've got a lot more, I feel like,
I just really
growing
want to know
football fans.
If people are going to go to this game.
I mean, it sounds like it. They're saying it's a capacity of, what, like 50,000 at this stadium? It looks really nice. 48,000. Really nice-looking stadium. I don't think they would do it there if they didn't think that they could draw a crowd.
Nebraska fans have purchased 9,000 game tickets, and this is from late July, so, you know, pretty recent. I'd say pretty accurate. Northwestern fans have purchased 3,000.
Well,
wow, I would think that Northwestern's number is a little bit higher. A lot of Irish people from Chicago, I guess.
Yeah, but
I don't even know if that matters. It's just
they're also like coming off of a really bad season.
Yeah, that's true. Who wants to travel to international waters to go watch Northwestern play football?
So that's only
like you can watch them at home for like $15 a game.
That's
unless
a much
Ohio
better
State's
option.
Down.
That's only 25% of the tickets, so they've got a
so
whole
we're counting on 75% of the just people from Ireland showing up.
I got faith in them.
I think I'd be pretty pissed to play a conference game to start my year in Dublin, Ireland. I mean, that's a pretty important game to, I mean, it's for both of these teams, really, that are trying to correct their programs. I'd be pretty mad if, you know, if I have to start that season off in another country where there's other factors weighing on the game besides just football and X's and O's. I don't know if I'd love that, honestly. I mean, if you're Scott Frost and you know, it's something weird happens because you're in Dublin and you lose this game, I mean, that could be incredibly detrimental to your season. But I am... Oh, man, now that we're talking about it, I'm even more
excited.
Oh,
I'm going to watch it now.
Well, I was already going to watch it, but like...
Well, it's the second game of the year right after Austin Peay and Western Kentucky.
That's a perfect warm-up game.
That really is. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be offensive. You know, if you want an over to bet on your first game of the year, I'm sure these boys can score some points.
I'm definitely taking the under in that Ireland game, right? I mean, those guys are going to be
jet-lagged,
sure.
Yeah.
You think at this point, like, you think they get to Ireland this weekend, or like they're already there?
Oh yeah,
yeah, I mean, at what
this
point
is
are
in
you?
10 days, yeah.
Yeah, we are 10 days from Irish football.
I bet they're up there a good like 3 or 4 days in advance before the game.
I mean, you probably want to get a practice in up there, get that jet lag out of your system.
Well, we're what, 10 days away from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11.
How funny is it that the first game, one of the first games of the year, when us all as a country are waiting for football to return, is on international borders?
And, like, really the only good game. Well, for, like, most people.
I love it, though.
I'm excited to watch Wyoming, Illinois, but, like, I'm, as you heard John call me last week, a sicko, I guess. But I like that Wyoming, Illinois game a lot. And I
couldn't tell you much about
kind of like Charlotte FAU too, so I'm excited to see those. But okay, so we're getting close to football. We good all around, by the way. We good in the room today, everyone.
Feeling great.
Everyone doing all right?
Yes.
How about
never
you?
Better.
Anything like bad going on in anyone's lives? Interesting, good, whatever.
I didn't watch any of the documentary series that came out last night, Manti Te'o, but I did hear. Someone said it was one of the best pieces of cinematography at the end that they'd seen in a while. So I heard high praise, but I also heard some negative reviews as well. So I'm getting mixed emotions about it.
Okay. I did not get a chance to watch it, but I can't wait to watch it. Is it? So it's an entire series?
I think it's going to be a series.
We're going to get more than 100%. One. Ooh. Now I'm even more excited.
I never got a chance to watch it last night. I watched Hard Knocks last night.
I did watch Hard Knocks.
I didn't watch Hard Knocks. I saw a clip, though.
Hard Knocks was good.
We've officially figured out our fourth defensive player on the Lions. Ooh. Rodrigo! He's a dog. Okay.
I actually really liked him at Oklahoma State. He's a dog. I'm glad he's doing well.
Yeah.
So we got Michael Brockers, Chris Rodriguez, mm-hmm. Jeff Okuda, and Aiden Hutchinson.
Yep. We'll get it. Maybe we'll get we'll learn a new Lions defensive player.
There's a guy named Charles. Because I know Dan Campbell's like, Charles keeps coming. And I know he's going to keep coming. And that's why I trust him in the game. He's going to keep doing it. He's going to keep coming. So
we'll learn his first name here in the next couple episodes. Or his last name.
It really could be one of the two.
It could be his middle name for all we know.
Could just be a nickname that Dan Campbell gave him that didn't make any sense. I'm trying to think. Who could Charles? I feel like we know that one. Right? We should know that one.
You would think, right?
It's Charles Harris, defensive end.
Oh, yeah.
He keeps
coming.
Still
doesn't ring a bell.
He's the guy that comes.
He keeps coming.
Oh, we got to remember this, too. Alex Anzalone. He's on that team.
Oh, yeah.
That's a memorable name. A couple Hard Knocks takeaways. We have just not seen TJ Hawkinson, I think, this entire time. Or DJ Chark.
We saw Hawkinson lay that block on Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, that's okay.
One.
So
that's
we got that.
That's
from
a show bits cool and pieces only of entry.
But yeah, we really didn't get a lot of DJ Chark, or we haven't really gotten any DJ Chark. We haven't gotten much TJ Hawkinson.
I want some more of that wide receiver room. I want to see Jameson Williams, see what he's up to.
I want to know what Josh Reynolds is doing to be called the big smooth serpent of death by Dan Campbell.
Wow.
It sounded like he was new to that nickname, too. He was like, all right, Serpent of Death, I guess we'll break it down. Let's go Lions. He looked kind of shocked receive that nickname.
He was like, are you talking to me, Dan? we got Amon-Ra St. Brown's dad.
That's the segment I saw a lot of Amon-Ra.
I think his dad's got respectfully is a psychopath.
I didn't see this part.
I mean, like the good kind, like the one that just like makes a tough son, but like maybe they have a weird relationship. He was just talking about like, my sons work out in silence. They don't talk to each other. We work out all. He kind of called out Kevin Durant at one point. He's like, Kevin Durant's torn Achilles. You think how many calf raises you've been doing, Kevin Durant?
Ooh.
You got to work out all parts of your body.
I don't
body.
Know if Kevin Durant deserved that on Hard Knocks. I don't know if he deserved that.
I mean, just what a random shot to throw out.
Because
I'm 2-time Mr. Universe.
Amon Ra's brother is Equanimous St. Brown, right?
And there's also Osiris, which I feel like Amon Ra and Equanimous' dad just probably doesn't even talk to Osiris anymore now that he's not in the NFL. Like, he's probably just nothing to him.
Did he try and make an NFL roster and just didn't make it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough for him.
I feel bad. I feel bad for Osiris. I feel like he's probably not doing well. But I hope he is. I don't know. He did graduate from Stanford. Yeah, you're probably doing all right.
It's pretty good. It's like LiAngelo Ball.
It's like, but dad, I'm really high up in the business world. You're not playing football, son.
But what's your max bench, son?
I haven't seen you in the gym in 3 days. It's busy season at work, Dad. I'm doing really good. They're going to give me that big promotion. I haven't seen you been doing any calf raises. Your Achilles, they're weak. I thought he was just an interesting character to throw in. I liked that we got to see David Blough, and I felt really bad that we got all like the nice, heartwarming David Blough stories, and it's like, and also he was the one that fumbled the preseason game away and lost in the game. That's tough. Other than that, Aiden Hutchinson's family, kind of annoying.
I agree.
Respectfully, kind of. I don't even know if I can say respectfully because that's not a respectful thing to say, but kind of annoying. I mean, I don't know if it was like I guess his sister. They cut to her at the game, and she's like, this is just so different from Michigan.
Stakes are a little lower for this game.
It's enclosed, and it's inside.
He's a
lion now.
I thought they were from Michigan. Had they not been
they
to
are,
a Lions
yeah.
game?
And I was just like, so your two big differences are just it's enclosed and inside. So just one difference. That's you're saying the same thing two different ways. And like, yeah, sometimes they play football indoors. Sometimes they don't. Like, that's your biggest difference? Like, that's your biggest takeaway of the differences between the Detroit Lions and Michigan football. Just, it's inside. So, I don't know. they frustrate me. But other than that, a good episode. Jamal Williams with an elite joke at the end, too.
I need to watch it tonight.
What was it? Oh, what was it? At the very end, like the cutscenes, he hit us with a little one-liner. I'm going to figure it out.
I might have cut it off a minute too early.
You shouldn't have. That's when you get the best stuff.
Yeah, usually the last 2 minutes.
But I'm even more in on the Lions, too. Like, their defense was tackling a little bit better now. We didn't get any, like, montages of just their defense messing up. I'm ready to double and triple down on the Detroit Lions.
Did they not show the final play of that preseason game?
No, they did. But, okay. Like, those guys aren't going to make the team, but so hey, it's okay.
Dan Campbell said, we just didn't do a couple small things right. Once we do that, we're gonna start winning games.
I believe in Dan Campbell more than I believe in my own self.
Dan Campbell could tell me anything, and I would believe it, I think.
Dan Campbell can move mountains.
Yeah. Powerful
like
man.
Like, just physically, not, like, spiritually. Like, he could just push
I think both. Forward. I think he can do them both.
And face the side of the mustard seed, Sam. Anyway, we're going to catch a break. We're off and rolling here in the Fan Run Studios. Get into a little bit more football talk on the other side. Stay with us on the Blitz. Baby, when I met you, there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with a fine-tooth comb. I was soft inside. There was something going on. Back here on the Blitz, the Big Orange Philly phone lines are open. If you want to call in, let your voice be heard. Tell us what you think about Hard Knocks or week zero of college football, or where do you want to see Tennessee play internationally if they ever did that, or would you ever want to see that? Whatever you're thinking about, hey, we'll take your calls. Phone lines are open. The Big Orange Philly phone lines, 865-546-8200. That's your number to call in, 865-546-8200. So we started looking at some of these week zero games. But I want to know, what week one games are we most looking forward to? Because there are, there are the obvious. There is the biggest game, where you have Notre Dame and you have Ohio State playing in primetime. Have we already declared that that's where College Game Day will be, too? Do we know?
I don't know if it's been announced.
Because I feel like they announced it really early for some reason, like almost a month ago, but now I don't remember where it was. I want to say it was there.
I mean, it's a top five game.
I couldn't imagine it being anywhere else. I mean,
and it's
so that
at Ohio
is,
State, correct?
Yeah, so that is like the game.
Kind of surprised that's not a neutral site game. So I feel like all those first like 2 or 3 weeks, you see a lot of those really big games.
I'm glad it's not, though.
I am, too.
I personally, I'm a huge fan of home and homes. Especially when you get like historic programs like Ohio State and Notre Dame, when you have them playing in historic stadiums, like the Shoe and like what you got up the Coliseum up in South Bend. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be awesome. Like, to see those two teams playing each other in those home environments. I mean, assume it's a home and home, and Ohio State will end up going to Notre Dame
later. I know Marcus Freeman coached the playoff game last year, but what a tough first game is, like, actual head coach. Like, having to go to Ohio State on what should be a really, really, really good year for them, like, on the road week one.
I mean, you couldn't really ask
that's
for
maybe
a,
one of
a
the hardest opening games
start.
As a head coach.
Because I don't think Notre Dame's a bad football team. I think they're a pretty good football team. Yeah. People generally agree. You can't find anywhere that has them outside the top 10 besides Paul Feinbaum. He went on like a weird anti-Notre Dame rant yesterday, but that's Paul.
Yeah.
I don't see any scenario, though, where Notre Dame doesn't lose this by multiple possessions. And that's not necessarily a knock on Notre Dame. It's just you have a head coach that's practically making his debut. I know he coached in the bowl game, but in most senses, yeah, that's going to be his debut. Like, bowl games, they're a game, but like, it's not the same feel, especially with opt-outs and everything these days. So I mean, pretty much making his Notre Dame debut, where he has actually had the time to install, you know, everything that he wants to do and install his program. And you're going to have to go play the best offense in college football.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the best team in college football at night in one of the better environments in college football. I mean, that's just...
With a new quarterback, too,
so
right?
So frustrating if you're Notre Dame. And, yeah, they are going to have a new quarterback.
That's a terrible first environment. And it's a night game, ABC, primetime. Chris Fowler, Kirk is in the building. The pressure's on right from the get-go.
And I wonder just, like, how much of an impact this could have on the rest of Notre Dame season two. Like, if you, you know, let that affect you or not. But I don't see that going well for Notre Dame. But, you know, in terms of other games in that week one, that opening week, is there any game that, you know, maybe isn't being talked about as much, or maybe it is getting, you know, some attention that really stands out to you? What game are you most looking forward to now that we have the obvious answer off the table?
I think that one's obviously the one. I could see game day flirt a little bit with maybe probably the second best game, and that's Georgia and Oregon, and that's in Atlanta. I guess that's going to be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and that has a lot of fun stories to it. I mean, one, it's almost a top 10 battle, right? And then you've got a Georgia team trying to defend their national championship week one. It's not a cakewalk, so you never know kind of how you're going to react, you know, coming off something like that. And then you've got Oregon under new leadership, Dan Lanning. You got Bo Nix.
Yeah, I mean, two SEC transplants really.
Yeah, it's like one Lanning
program.
Can't get away now from Georgia, and Bo Nix can't get away from the SEC. So you've got, it'll just be really interesting to see how Bo Nix, you know, he's used to SEC defenses, he's used to Georgia, but like, what's it gonna be like when he's wearing Oregon Duck green and yellow, and he got a brand new coach, and you just know the Oregon's brand of football can be fun sometimes. So
which
you never know.
How do you feel about Bo Nix?
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like he went through a lot at Auburn. I mean, he had those moments. I mean, his best moment was probably beating Oregon. What that was that 2020 or 2019?
I think it was 2019. Okay. He also, I mean, he did beat Bama at one point.
Like, he did. Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's had some really good games, and he's had moments where you're like, all right, that's electric play right there. Like, you put your confidence in him, and then, you know, you just have then games where offense just kind of fell through and it just wasn't clicking. You know, a lot of that could be just coaching change staff, you know, kind of having to deal with a lot of different offenses. Obviously going to have to do a new one here, Dan Lanning in Oregon. But I mean, obviously if Lanning thinks that this is his guy, and I think Oregon probably went hard for him in the portal once he entered in there. I mean, I think just the experience to have as a first-year head coach at a Power 5 school, to have a guy who started in the SEC for as long as he has, you're going to take that. I mean, that's pretty indispensable to have that type of experience in winning big games before.
To me, like, I just...
But, like, there's still that thing where
I just don't like Bo Nix.
He's not going to be a Heisman finalist or anything, but like, I just feel like...
I just don't even know if he...
If you're trying to build this program as a first-year head coach, I think that's a guy you can really rely on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a guy, I guess, that has a floor that you can trust.
Yeah.
Like, he has a floor that...
But you just don't see, like, a
national
championship.
If the rest of the team around him plays well, he has a floor that can, you know, get you a second-place finish in the Pac-12, a third-place finish in the Pac-12, somewhere around there. You know, maybe you drop one Pac-12 game you shouldn't, you get beat by a team that should beat you, and you lose this Georgia game, and you go 9-3. And, yeah, I guess it's not a bad building block in your first year to then, you know, move off of and try to find your quarterback for the future. I mean, right now, behind Bo Nix, it's just redshirt freshman Ty Thompson and redshirt freshman Jay Butterfield. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that I know anything about either of those guys. So I'd have to assume that Bo Nix is probably the best quarterback. I mean, obviously, probably the best quarterback. He is the unquestioned starter there, but... That's what you have as the non-Notre Dame-Ohio State game that's or Tennessee-Ball State,
I think I have
most
that just for the storylines in that game. It's just there's going to be a lot of fun talking points there.
That's fair. I mean,
I don't think Georgia has an issue winning that game, especially since it's in Atlanta. That's a much easier commute for the Dog fans. And I don't think there's going to be any sort of like hangover after winning a natty. I
just think Georgia
fine.
Might win that game by like
they could. I'm just interested in the storylines. I think it'll be fun.
I mean, it's your big 3:30 game.
Yeah,
that's the one that and you know, there's one other big 3:30 game that really gets you through the middle of the day. Sam, what game are you most looking forward to? Week one.
I am very interested in Utah at Florida. That is one that really jumps off the page to me. I'm a big fan of Utah. I thought they looked great in that Rose Bowl last year against Ohio State. And I'm just really interested to see how Billy Napier comes out of the gate with that Florida team. Because, like we're saying, with Dan Lanning having a tough opening slate and everything, and Marcus Freeman, Billy Napier's got it just as tough up there with that Utah team. And right now it's open at Florida plus 2.5. I would be all over Utah right now, personally.
It is. It is in Gainesville, right?
It's a
night game in the swamp. I mean,
that's a tough environment for Utah.
That was going to be my answer, Sam, as well. Because I can't. I'll give you a different answer, obviously, when we get there. But I cannot begin to explain how excited I am for this game. Like I'm infinitely more excited for this game than any other game. I'm more excited for this game than Notre Dame Ohio State. Like in my house. This game will get the big TV treatment with the volume on, and Notre Dame, Ohio State will go on one of the three side TVs. You know, maybe if you know the games obviously go differently than we think, that could get switched around. But Utah, Florida is the game, and for a lot of different reasons. Because I really like this Utah team. I think a lot of people do. I think they've kind of become everyone's darling in terms of, hey, this is like going to be my sneaky fourth playoff team, even though they're not really sneaky, guys. They're a top 10 team. Let's be honest with each other. But, you know, they've become a popular pick to be that, you know, potential fourth playoff team. A lot of people are really all over Utah this year. And, I mean, for good reason, they bring a lot back. They're going to have a great defense, a great secondary. They're well coached. They finally have a quarterback that they feel really good about, too, in Cameron Rising. I can't wait to see what Utah looks like, but even more so, I can't wait to see what Florida looks like in their opener with Billy Napier. You know, I think one of the most intriguing games on Tennessee's schedule this year is Florida, just because we think, hey, this is the year that, you know, you really have an upper hand on Florida, and a pretty significant one, we think. So, like, that's a game that you need to take care of business in, and this opener, I think, will tell us a whole lot about this Florida team. At least, you know, in the short going, and you play Florida relatively soon after that, so that's going to look similar to the Florida team you're going to play. I'm excited to see what Anthony Richardson looks like. You know, my expectations for him aren't as high as some maybe. You know, there's been first round quarterback buzz with him. There's been top 10 buzz with him when it comes to, you know, him as a prospect, and I can get it to an extent. He has a big arm. He's an incredible runner, but like I don't think that Anthony Richardson is a guy that's ever going to ascend to first round prospect status. So that's the game. Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent choice, Sam. I'm pumped to see that.
I have some stats about that game if you want to hear.
Yeah,
it.
I do.
So Utah has only played the SEC in 7 games in its entire existence, and it has just 1 win. You remember that win?
Utah has 1 win.
1 win against the SEC.
It was against Florida, right? In like 2008? Or no, it was against Alabama in 2008.
Yep, Alabama. That's the last time they've played an SEC opponent. That was in the Sugar Bowl. Utah, I believe. Was Alex Smith on that Utah team?
Yes.
That's
I think he
right.
was. They,
it, was
right.
it was 2008?
2008.
Yeah.
Yeah, they beat Alabama in that one.
That was right before they handed it over to Kyle Whittingham, right?
Yeah, 31-17 to win the Sugar Bowl. Technically, it was on January 2nd, 2009. Do you know the last time they played an SEC team in the regular season?
1982.
Close. That was very close. It was 1984.
And it was
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
They've played Tennessee.
That's what I was going to say.
Utah has played Tennessee the most out of any SEC opponent. They're 0-3 against Tennessee.
Get some! We own you, Utah! Don't come mess with us!
So just say that Utah doesn't have a lot of experience playing on the road in an SEC environment. That's just a different
scale. I'm trying to, like, what even are... That is a factor that maybe we aren't thinking about. Like, what is the toughest environment Utah plays in? Is it at BYU, like during the Holy War?
Maybe.
Is it
like Arizona
at Oregon,
State?
Like Autzen Stadium? You know, at their peak, probably.
I bet it is that BYU-Utah game.
It's either, I mean, I think it's either at BYU or at Oregon.
Yeah.
I don't really know how that's going to, either of those compare to, you know, the Swamp. I don't want to, you know, have regional bias here, because I do think that BYU can really gets up for those big games. However, it's probably, you know, it's not as hostile, just culturally different a little bit, so it's probably not as hostile. And then, I mean, there was a point in time where Marcus Mariota and Oregon were rolling, and the Autzen Zoo was crowned like potentially the loudest stadium in college football. So hey, maybe, you know, maybe that has given some of those guys the experience, or, you know, the experience that they need. And at the very least, they've played in big games. Like, they've played, you know, the big game feeling in itself shouldn't be unfamiliar to them. I mean, heck, they just played in a Rose Bowl. You know, before that, you know, they played in a Pac-12 championship. Like, they've played big games. So atmosphere could be a difficult test for them week one, though.
SEC versus Pac-12 is so fun, though. I know we talked about this the other day.
It's
just so fun.
That's like, I would love if every SEC school just played a Pac-12 school every year.
Sounds like Tennessee's done a good job of doing it, though.
Like, if we just brought in Oregon State, like, to play like a 9 o'clock game on a Saturday night in Neyland Stadium, yeah, man, might as well.
It's been a long time since we played Oregon State in football. I don't even know. Can you think of
that? I assume it's been a very long time, because I don't have any memories of even like seeing a newspaper clipping or highlight from any.
When
Oregon
was the
State,
last
Tennessee?
Time Oregon State even played an SEC? Like, I just
has
don't.
Has Oregon State ever played Tennessee?
I don't even know.
Were we like hopping on the Oregon Trail in 1890 to go take on the Beavers? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Tennessee has played Oregon State twice, ever. Last time was actually in 2013. So I don't know how we. Oh, that's Oregon. Never mind.
I was about to say, yeah.
Why did
we did not play Oregon State 2013?
Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
I didn't even know we played Oregon.
Yeah.
You
we
don't remember that?
We had
a home and home with them. And
yeah.
Marcus Mariota. He had some highlights.
It was when Oregon was really good. Oregon was really good.
To put it simply, like, actually, I was impressed with our first quarter in both of those games, but then Marcus Mariota had some highlights.
The Titans front office was watching that Tennessee.
I remember seeing those highlights again, actually, when the Titans drafted Marcus Mariota, and they broke down his college tape and everything. And, yeah, it was like, oh, there's him doing really well against us. So that's him again.
All right,
Tennessee.
Here it is. Tennessee all time has one win and one tie with Oregon State.
We tied with Oregon State?
Sure did.
What year?
Let's see.
That's unbelievable.
That's a loss in my eyes.
A long, long
time. We didn't
win
by more than seven. That's a loss in my eyes. Is that back in the Gene McEver days?
Oh, not even that long ago, actually. It was 1978.
Was that when we tied?
13-13 tie with Oregon State.
I thought we quit ties in like the 60s.
And then we beat Oregon State 1977, the year before, 41-10.
I love that we played a late 70s home and home with Oregon State.
That's the last time that Tennessee and Oregon State have played one another.
I think every college football team should have to spin a wheel, or every Power 5 team.
I like that.
And whatever they land on, they have to have a home and home with. There's just the next 2 years, and every 2 years, you have another wheel day.
That's a good idea.
So
I think these
so
home and homes are like way too far out in advance.
I don't like that.
I mean, don't need to know who I'm playing in 42.
I mean, I think Tennessee has games scheduled through
a Washington, a future one with Washington.
Yeah, oh man,
I think the Washington game is in 2030, I believe.
Yeah,
I mean, there's just no reason to.
Me and Cam, actually, we have an agreement that
Oklahoma. No, I think Oklahoma is going to be back on the schedule at some point too.
But we also. If they're coming to the SEC, though, like we
don't know that doesn't even matter. Yeah, I think Nebraska's also on there.
Yeah, we had to push back that Nebraska series because that was supposed to have already happened.
Was it? Huh.
Your future opponents, Year, it's again Virginia and Nashville, yeah. Austin Peay, UTSA, UConn. 2024, Oklahoma. We'll put that in parentheses because, you know,
they'll probably be in quotations. The SEC.
We don't really know what they're going to be doing at that point. Kent State, UTEP also. 2025 is Syracuse and Atlanta.
Ooh. Tennessee opened with Syracuse in 1998.
Yeah, I was about to say, I like that we're doing that. That's just to cool. See if we can summon some magic. You got Nebraska at Nebraska 2026.
Home and away.
Home in 2027 with Nebraska. We decided that, hey, that West Virginia game was so fun, let's do it again as we play them in Charlotte in 2028. And then you had 2029 and 2030. That's Washington's home and home. And yeah, me and Cam do have an agreement that no matter where we are in our lives, no matter what where we're living and what's going on, we're going to drop everything and we're going to road trip to Washington in 2030.
That'll be the first time.
I'd like to cordially extend the invite to both of you as well.
I'm there. That's the first. That'll be the first.
But just know that, like, this is serious. Washington. You are expected that no matter what, you're going to drop everything and you're going to drive to Washington.
I hope I'm living in Washington already, so I just
drive.
You hope
you're living
like,
in Washington?
Maybe not, honestly.
To take out inconveniency of having to drive that far, just go ahead and live there.
Planning ahead. We got 8 years to find a job in Washington, so.
Plenty of time.
They talk on the radio there, I'm sure.
Do you know the Pac-12 team that Tennessee's played the most?
Cal.
No.
UCLA?
Yes.
Okay. I figured it was one of those two.
By 10 games.
Wow.
By 10. They've played them 15 times, 10 more than the second place team.
Let's go. I think my parents went to a game at UCLA like so long ago. I was just a little kid.
The last home and home we had was in 2009, I think 08, and there was that really close game at home. It came down to like a goal line stand. I remember being just very upset.
Well, I guess I'll tell you real quick what I'm looking forward to most in week one. Besides Utah, Florida, Cincinnati, Arkansas. It's another one of those afternoon games, and I think maybe it's a little overlooked, but it's a ranked matchup. And I'm pretty curious to see what Cincinnati is going to look like now that they replace Jerome Ford. I believe they replaced Jerome Ford, but they replaced Desmond Ridder. They replaced Alec Pierce. Like, they replaced a lot of pieces from that team. They replaced Kobe Bryant, Ahmad Sauce Gardner. You know, Luke Fickell did a great job building that program and building it full of guys that were good enough to make NFL rosters and be sought after in the NFL draft. I mean, high draft picks. So, you know, obviously what he's done with that program is great, and they're making the move to the Big 12 as well. But the next test for him in that Cincinnati program is whether or not they have staying power, whether or not, you know, they have the ability to reload their roster and still, you know, not really miss too much of a beat year in and year out. So that's, you know, I'm looking forward to that from the Cincinnati side. And then just from the Arkansas side, just a fun team. You know, Jalen Catalan's back from injury. Bumper Pool's the dog. And I really like KJ Jefferson. So I'm not necessarily, you know, excited for this Arkansas team because they're another SEC team. But I do think that they're going to be a pretty good team this year and fun to watch if, you know, as long as it's not hurting Tennessee. So, week one, man.
Another team, Cincinnati, having to travel to Arkansas, play at an SEC environment.
I like that. I don't know if Arkansas goes there or not the next year, but I like that either way. Oh, boys, I want to go into I can't say that, but, like, you know, maybe just like a nice little coma until, like, the 27th wouldn't be the worst thing ever.
It's about that time where football season just starts itching
at
you.
It's just all you think about.
It's just like,
I just feel like you just got ants, like, crawling around
your
skin.
You could smell
it
in the air this
morning. I need it. Because it feels great outside.
It felt like a tailgate today.
Well, when we were golfing Friday, on the back nine, you started to get that football breeze. And I don't really know how to describe it other than just calling it the football breeze.
You know what it is.
But yeah, you know
when you feel it.
And you know the football breeze?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the football breeze. And you can just feel that football breeze. And for a second, I thought I was walking over the bridge in a Nissan Stadium. And I felt really good. So I need football, but we need a break. So Sam, go ahead and send us a break. We'll wrap hour one up on the other side. Stay with us here on the Blitz. This was always Brandon Orick's favorite song to come back with. Just makes me think of that. I love hearing some Doja Cat. I'm a sucker for Doja Cat. I gotta be honest. I mean, she's really my perfect woman in all facets. But wrapping up this week one of college football conversation, going around the room again, this time, top 25 team that you think is most likely to get upset by an unranked team in that week one. Andy, I'll let you lead us off a second time.
Okay. I'm going to try to find a different one because I think Florida and Utah will be close.
I've got one I'm pretty confident.
Okay, Sam, I'll let you go ahead while Andy thinks.
I'm going to go ahead and say that UTSA is going to beat Houston week one. That's going to be my upset of the week.
I'm out on a limb.
I'm feeling it. I love the Roadrunners. 5.5-point dogs. I think it's just going to be an absolute shootout, and somehow Houston's going to lose that game.
It's like you don't even read my American predictions, Sam. Come on. Houston? No way. What did I even have Houston at? I think I had an 11-1. 10-2, maybe?
Hopefully with a loss to UTSA.
Did not have that. I mean, I don't know. UTSA has to replace some pieces. Like, I like UTSA, and I like their staff. I like the program that they've started to build, but Houston, they were on that top 10 offenses list that you had last week. They they have the quarterback in tune, and like they have a good receiving core. I'm gonna choose to disagree with you on that one, Sam. I have it here. I have it.
I'll tell you. I told you so in week one.
Houston had 11-1, 7-1 in the American. So I had them 4-0 at a conference. All right. So you got UTSA over Houston.
Take it to the bank.
Andy?
I know we already talked about it. I do think probably Utah would be the most likely to lose week one of a ranked team to an unranked, but for the sake of picking another one we haven't talked about, I think Pittsburgh should be a little nervous. I know they're at home, but West Virginia, good team, coming to town Thursday night game, will probably be the one that a lot of people have eyes on outside of the Tennessee game also going on that day. I think we both mentioned yesterday that Pittsburgh might be a little higher ranked than we would have thought, and I think West Virginia is kind of one of those teams that's sitting around the 30s or the 40 range a little bit, kind of maybe a chance to sneak up. I think that's a tough first game. It's not easy, but if I had to pick another one outside of maybe that Utah-Florida game, I think that one's could be a close one.
Yeah, I mean, the backyard brawl, it's one of the like the sneaky good rivalries in college football, and it does feel like we get an upset on that Thursday or Friday night every year. And your only other candidates are like Central Michigan, Oklahoma State. I mean, I could picture that just because it feels kind of natural for some reason. But no, I think West Virginia, I mean, that's going to be a good game. West Virginia with JT Daniels taking over at quarterback. They're adapting more of an air raid scheme this year offensively. You know, I think they're going to put a lot more of an emphasis on throwing the football. And the recruiting pitch that they made to JT Daniels to get him to come to West Virginia, they told him, based on all of our analytics and everything else, without you, we are a 7-5 football team, and with you, we're a 10-2 football team.
Wow.
So that's what West Virginia thinks that they are with JT Daniels. They think that they have something really special with him. I could absolutely see that happening. My pick is going to be Utah State over Alabama.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
No way.
Utah State is going to be a pretty good team, but yeah, I mean, it's Alabama. But
they won 10 games last year.
Yeah, I think they might again. I finished up by Mountain West this morning. I got to put it out.
All right.
I kind of, as much as I really like this NC State team, going on the road to East Carolina at noon on a Saturday, I could see them maybe slipping up there. You know, we saw an NC State last year in their losses, they failed to recover from slow starts. And that was what kind of bit them. You know, they really failed to recover in that game against Mississippi State with a slow start. And East Carolina is a ground and pound, physical, ball control football team, which is, it's kind of funny that that's what East Carolina's become. But they were going to return a lot of starters. They're going to return a heck of a running back room, an offensive line that can move some dudes. And that's kind of an emerging, you know, program. And they have the offensive line to be able to compete, at least, you know, with NC State's ACC defensive line. maybe you're sleeping a little bit if you're NC State. You know, again, a noon game on the road, get off to a little bit of a slow start. East Carolina can really use that, you know, possession, ball control, field position, offense to their strength, and maybe I could see them pulling that out. So, yeah, I wouldn't be overly shocked with that. So that's going to be my pick.
There is always that.
Pirates.
There is always that, like you said, Thursday night, Friday night upset, and then there always is like that noon game upset. Yeah.
It's just a sleepy noon game. So I don't know. I kind of like that. Well, hour one in the books, and if you're not just ready to go at this point for college football, I don't. You might not be awake. So hour one of the books, hour two on deck. Stay with us here on the Blitz.
Your pet is an important